Dr. Trina Hamm is a printmaker, a sculptor, a skin cloak maker, an artist, and her triptych of Wagga can be found in the City Council's chambers. Trina's artworks are composed with multiple layers of storytelling, garnered from her Yorta Yorta upbringing by the Murray River in northern Victoria and southern New South Wales. And now she's just been awarded the 2020 inaugural Joyce Spencer Textiles Fellowship. She's joining me this morning. Trina, good morning.
Good morning, Sally, and it's good to be with you and your listeners.
Hey, what does this fellowship mean to you? It's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yes, it was a really nice surprise to actually receive it. I've seen a lot of similarities between Joyce Spencer and my own mother. And they actually lived the same amount of years during their lifetime.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there was a lot of parallels I picked up with teaching, doing workshops, just expanding my skills to the wider community. And it was just Joyce's generosity of spirit, and it sort of reminded me of my own mother and the way that she encouraged me to do my artwork as well.
So it's this paying it forward idea, really, isn't it?
Yes. It comes down to a lot of levels. It's sort of like personal. And the artistic is the core, so it's really intrinsic. And to do it for a long period of time, it's really special because it's like a driving force inside you. It's sort of like another sense, but you're using all your other senses to do your work.
Yeah.
And, on a community level, that was important too.
Describe to me your developing your practice. How did that happen?
Well, I was a toddler at 3 years old, and as soon as I picked up a pencil, I was off. I produced many drawings and pictures, and I was sort of positively reinforced during my early years, and the only thing I wanted to do was to be an artist.
It is interesting, isn't it? I watch people relating to their children when their children are first trying something. And if those kids are told, oh, wow, that's so good, you can do this, it has such a huge impact on them.
Yes, it does. And because I'm part of the Stolen Generation as well, it was really invaluable for me to learn about my culture as I was going along and learn a lot of knowledge and culture from uncles and aunties, and sort of put that, because I live in two worlds, so to speak, to impart what I've learnt for the wider community. And I've seen Joyce, when I read her background, she actually did the same thing. She was so confident in her skills and techniques on ground level, like I say, in regions, and just wanting people to learn and encourage, and that sort of will be back to what my mother did for me as well. So, yeah, that was another similarity.
What have you been working on recently during this pandemic? Because it's a weird time, isn't it?
Yes, it's a bit like the river. There's ebbs and flows, but as artists we just keep going. I've got a commission from the National Gallery of Victoria to make two possum skin cloaks, and I actually ordered more than needed, so I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to make a cloak in Joyce's honour.
Oh, wow.
And to put the designs symbolising Joyce's life entwined with mine. And they're very healing items, and they exude comfort. And when someone puts them on, there's so much of a warmth. And so we're doing a regional tour. It will end up in Narrandra at the Arts and Community Centre, and hopefully Joyce's family will be able to put it on.
Wow. So for those of us who don't understand all the significance of a possum skin cloak, can you describe to me, was it about warmth? Was it a ceremonial thing? Where does the significance lie in this?
Well, it covered many realms of life. Ceremonies were definitely important. They were like an identification. So if I'm sort of explaining it to people, you go to the MCG, everyone's wearing their colours. if you could imagine back in time, 200 people from a certain tribe walking down the river wearing their cloaks with ochre painted on it from the region that they were from, that would be definitely an identification of land, their personal totems maybe, and the symbols, and they would be definitely recognised where they come from and country.
That's a really interesting thing to know, because there are so many of us who just have no knowledge of this stuff. It's, you know, either because we're non-Aboriginal or, as you say, because so many people, you know, because of the stolen generations, have been removed from their culture.
Yeah, I was lucky. I was taken off my birth mother when I was born, but actually my adopted parents brought me back to my traditional homeland.
Wow.
Hmm.
It's amazing. There are a lot of people who were enlightened ahead of their time. I mean, there's a lot better understanding now. But years ago, you know, there were plenty of people who were, with all the best intention of the world, just didn't get it.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of history. Looking at a beautiful culture and sort of dispersing it into relics or sort of putting it into a more European way. But what I do is I like to think of my projects as inclusive and practical reconciliation through art and education. So that's the link that I saw when I read the application for the fellowship.
Now, you've worked with so many different mediums. You've worked in printmaking, fibre weaving. How do each of these different forms bring new meaning into your storytelling?
I started off as a printmaker. I sort of, at being young, I thought that was the only thing I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I was really inspired by listening in history and philosophy classes when our teacher used to talk about artists like Picasso, Paul Klee and Jean Moreau, and to see that being an artist, you could do many things. So I've always sort of thought about that, and it wasn't until I returned home on the river after studying at Charles Sturt University in Wagga that it sort of opened up, and it opened up into weaving and then sculpture and public art and all sorts of other things. So Joyce has, she was a painter, did a lot with arts and crafts, especially with folk art. On that level, there's another connection, definitely, and like it doesn't have to be European artists. I only did that because there were no Aboriginal artists in my textbooks in the 80s.
Yeah.
You looked at Gombrich, you looked at all the old European artists, and a lot of that, those times it was in black and white and they were so far away on the other side of the earth. So, yeah, it wasn't until the Mali opened in Sydney, so then I started seeing the relevance and the same things, such as identity and land and what other artists are saying.
So this is a significant milestone for you, isn't it? What do you think the future holds? I mean, the sky really is the limit once you expand your mind like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very lucky being an artist, I think. And it sort of depends on the teachers that you had, because their job was to open your mind up and to sort of question everything and to think. We were only teenagers when that happened, but there's something that gets instilled inside of you and you sort of have it in the back of your mind. So when you mature and get older, it sort of comes to the fore more and more.
Yeah. I find it really interesting, you know, it's almost like there are two sorts of teachers who really inspire you. There are the ones who open your mind up and say, here you are, you can do whatever you like, just the sky's the limit. And then there are the ones who go, no, you can't do that. And it actually makes you really get the pigs and go, you know what, I bloody can.
Yeah, exactly. I was fortunate. I couldn't even count them on two fingers. People were like that when that taught me.
Yeah.
But I have seen the disadvantages that it's happened to other people, sort of closing off their world, what they wanted to do and their dreams, and some of them being, you know, they feel guilty about doing it because that's what they've been told and it's grained in their head, maybe through education system or the teachers that they had. So No, it's very free and inclusive, and it incorporates a lot of people on different levels, and that's what the arts do.
Anything else you want to talk about while I've got you on the phone?
Well, we're having a regional tour when the work's completed. I'm going to create the possum skin cloak sculptures, such as the creatures along the river, and even look at some microscopic creatures and make them on a larger scale. So the regional tour will be in 2022, so I've got a lot of time to make the work, and it's going to tour to the Burridge Gallery in Albury-Wodonga through Murray Arts, and then the Griffith Regional Art Gallery, and then finishing off at the Narandra Arts and Community Centre, which is Joyce's hometown, to honour Joyce's life there. And I'd just like to just pay respect to the Joyce's family and the CAD Factory, who is in Sandigo, and also the Western Riverina Arts, who instigated the fellowship.
How amazing, isn't it? That's Trina Hamm. She's a printmaker, a sculptor, a skin cloak maker, an artist, and now she is the inaugural Joyce Spencer Textiles Fellowship winner through the Narandra CAD Factory, Western Riverina Arts, and the Spencer family. It is a fair testament to the level of commitment there is in the Riverina to the arts, isn't there, when they can get something like that off the ground.